One day, when it had to be about 90 degrees, and I was getting a sun headache walking from the bus stop, a loud horn blatted behind me. I jumped and turned, about to flip off some smartass, when a familiar blur made me instantly yank my hand down from my vulgar salute. It was a blue MG. Sherry Gentry waved me over as she idled in the middle of the street. "Want a ride?" One hand lay nonchalantly on the wheel, a slender, tanned arm encircled by colorful clanking bracelets. Her face was framed by oversized sunglasses and that long wave of hair. I grinned sheepishly and walked closer. I had to fight down the urge to look over my shoulder to see if she was really talking to me.
"You're David, right?"
she asked. I nodded happily and hurried around to the passenger side, thinking, of course, the upholstery had to be white. What else with that hair? Probably real leather. And gasped as I sat down on the blistering seat. Seared me right through my pants, but I didn't care. I eased myself up an inch off the leather, slammed the door, and she punched the radio and the car into motion all at once.
"Too hot to walk today,"
she hollered gaily over the music.
"Show me where to turn."
How to prolong this?
"Right at the next corner,"
I hollered back, wondering if I dared take her the long way around. The radio was blaring out a Beach Boys song I'd heard at least twice a day for the last week. "And we'll have fun, 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 now that Daddy took the T-Bird away." Sherry hummed along, patting her free hand on the car door, wheeling down the street.
"How you doing these days? Making friends?"
"Oh, yeah," I said. "Think of something to say.
Isn't California far out?"
"Absolutely," I grinned happily. And at that instant, I truly thought so. The sun, the wind in my face, the girl next to me, the joyous pulsing rhythm of the drums.
"This your car? It's fantastic." "My folks got it for me for Christmas last year,"
she tossed me a teasing smile.
"To match my eyes?"
I didn't hesitate. "You must have been good."
"I always am,"
she said.
"I thought that was you from the back. I figured I owed you one. You were nice to stop that day."
I wondered if she would speak of it. Now that she had, my confidence expanded. I doubt there's a male between 10 and 90 who wouldn't have.
"You'd be surprised,"
she said lightly. The music ended. Another song segued right into the last, and I said,
"It's down at the end of this block, on the right, that greenhouse."
"Where are you from?" she asked as she pulled up and parked. "Please don't let Avram be coming home."
"New York City, originally. You must live in this neighborhood."
"About 6 blocks over." She sat relaxed, waiting for me to get out of the car. It was now or never.
"Listen," I said, turning slightly toward her. "I hope whatever got you crying last time..."
Her eyes swiveled away quickly, and I sensed my misstep.
"Well, I just hope it's better for you now. You're too pretty to ever have to be sad." I was almost out of breath with my audacity.
She said,
"Nobody's ever that pretty, David Levine."
She started up the car, and I slid out of the seat and closed the door, turning back to lean on it.
"Do you know anything much about me?"
she asked, almost as an afterthought. I rattled off, "Sherry Gentry, Queen of Taft High, class flirt, most likely to be worshipped." I took a deep breath and thought quickly. Here you either make it memorable or make it mud.
"Best toot cheese in the valley,
or so they say."
"Best what?"
"Rump, dorsum, posterior. In for a penny, in for a pyre."
"Ass."
The Persian closed slitted amber eyes and heaved a scornful sigh. Sherry's eyes narrowed. The blue turned colder, and the clouds suddenly blocked the sun.
"I'd heard that.
she said softly. But nobody ever said it to my face.
I was genuinely shocked. No kidding. Not even one of your boyfriends? God, even when she was hostile, she was beautiful. Where I come from, lots of girls would consider it a compliment. She softened somewhat.
Well, the men I date don't mention it.
Who's that?
College men, mostly.
She rustled impatiently in her seat.
Well, see you later.
Before she could move away, I quickly said, Listen, I'm sorry I forgot my manners. Wanna come in for a Coke or something? Maybe sit out by the pool? I promise not to sound like some sub-anthropodial horse's tuchus. A small smile. Show her what a fool you're not. You're a real head spinner, you know that? I'm afraid I lost mine. The smile grew to one of wry amusement at my fumbles.
No, it's still there, for what it's worth.
Well, come on in, and not a single other bodily part or function will be mentioned. Please?
Don't beg.
Beg? Who's begging? This isn't begging, it's beseeching. And if you can't tell the difference, you'll never win my heart. Now she laughed aloud. As the car pulled away, she called back over her shoulder,
Maybe next time, David Levine.
I stood and watched her until she rounded the corner. Shit. Another dazzling repartee executed by everyone's favorite Casanova, the delightfully cunning David Levine. She undoubtedly had two pools of her own, not to mention a dozen to choose from if she wanted to do something so boring as to go sit by one moron. And was it absolutely necessary to mention her ass? I was aware from the instant I almost fried it on her upholstery that my cock was tense just being around her. She seemed everything female, Amazonian, almost in her sense of poise and control. Something almost virile about her power, and yet she made me feel completely male.